we know that God is a spirit, so we need to worship Him in truth and in spirit. So what did the Samaritan woman at the well told Jesus that we worship God at this mountain. So actually, but Jesus told her that it's not where you worship God, because God is everywhere. It's not that we can only encounter God in a particular place. It is not that we can only worship God in church, but we should worship Him in truth and in spirit. So what is truth and spirit? Do we truly want to encounter Him? Or is it more of a... Or do we want to just meet Him in a ritualistic way? So, of course, we worship Him not just in the Sunday service. It's because God is with us 24 hours a day. Even we are resting, when God is still leading us. So we must really ask ourselves, how much time do we spend before God? We all have 24 hours a day. After you minus off 8 hours of sleep, the 16 hours times 7, there's even 100 over hours where we are awake. If a believer just spend 2-3 hours a week to worship the Lord, then that's less than 5%. This is a very short time. So what kind of a heart do we bring before this God who created the universe? So, many people here really wanted to draw strength from God's word, but maybe there's a minority. Of course, they are physically here, but their heart is maybe somewhere else. Maybe thinking about work. Maybe there's a presentation at the workplace tomorrow. Or there's exams of my kids tomorrow. So when we come before God, this is our attitude. So if we are living in the Old Testament, so it looks as though God is very harsh. So if they need to go to the temple, if they never prepare their house, if they not never cleanse themselves, they may go in, they may walk in, but they may be carried out. So God does not have more strength or power when we worship Him, but because it's of our own benefit that we worship Him correctly, we were the one who will be strengthened. So I believe everyone here are those who love God. So every week you gather with some brethren, some you join cell groups, then some are also involved in ministry. I'm not saying that we all don't have a heart to revere God. This is something we need to reflect on ourselves. Some people may be thinking, my work is really busy. I had just had a child. I have young kids, and I have to take care of my elderly parents. There's a lot of work pressure. Of course, we have all our practical needs. No one is the world pressure has given us a lot of demands. This is very real. All this pressure is very real. So, but can we commit this to the Lord? So, So after graduation, maybe a young person may have a lot of ideals and ambition. They want to earn the first million. They want to retire at 40s and 50s and do what they want to do. To these young people, maybe they may not have thought of putting God at the highest place. These are some of the realities we have today. Whether we have a lot of problems. So what is the one true reason why we cannot come before God? It is sin. Because after we have fallen, we are not able to meet God. We are resisting God. So we have the gift of salvation because God first came to look for us. Romans just now, there's no one righteous, no one is seeking God. So in a typical situation, if we don't have the heart to so our natural inclination is to turn away from God. So some people say, every day I pray, I read the Bible. I think many brethren will read the Word of God and pray. But what I'm talking, what I'm asking is, so do we center our lives on the Word of God? This is what we need to confirm. After we have seen, we have the fact that we can worship Him, it is God who has first touched us and saved us. But we are saved by grace. But God is a spirit. God is spirit. We can't see Him physically. When we want to seek Him, it's not so easily. So that's why God has put us in the church. Because church is a physical place where you can hear, we can see. And then the Bible also tells us that church is the body of Christ. So you must be connected to the church. So that you can be in a state where you can see God and hear from God. So when we go, So that's why today's topic, the relationship between believers and the church. But we know that, of course, this is a it's a very important. But many people may have some wrong understanding of incorrect understanding of the relationship of between believers and the church. First, our work, family, interests, assets, we have disconnected it with the church. Family is family, church is church, work and church has nothing to. So at most people will think, oh, if I have more salary, I'll give more in offering. How many of you will share your problems at work with your cell group? But do you share about the challenges? Or maybe you have a colleague who has a lot of problems, and how do you pray that you can reach out to him? So, I have heard, my work is my work. It's nothing to do with church. So, So many people, they don't want to share some of the things at work because they think it's really not related. And sometimes they also didn't think they have a good testimony at work. Also, so some people also separate children. What's the relationship between your children and the church? Oh, just bring them to Sunday school. So do they just come, do they only hear God's word during the church service and Sunday school? Do we, the purpose of our life, do we teach our young kids all these things? So when some group members tell me, So there's a actually I have a cell group member who told me the previous cell group member is always sharing about how they are learning, the kids is learning, and then even when the results are out, the first thing they ask is what's the results. Believers. So when believers disconnected what they care about with the church, So some people say, okay, I'm not a Sunday Christian. I have some serving. I also have a cell group. But I also hear some members tell me, previous church. So they are pastor and preacher. So Monday is my off day. It's my off day. So of course, pastor is a human. He also needs rest. If you really want to shepherd the there's no off day. It's not possible. If the shepherd sees an off day as a higher priority than the needs of the sheep, then I think it's very hard for the sheep to really willingly give up their life to live for the church. So of course, this is something as a leader we need to reflect. If we have not lived out some of these standards, how do you expect them to really put church at the center of their life? So what's the other second incorrect relationship? Is that believers spend too much time in church. Maybe they spend even more time than pastor. So really treat the church as his house. If you are single, if you have no family here, so this is your house. It's not wrong. But if you spend most of your time here, whether you have you part in a way, this is very this person is spiritual and he has desire to seek God. But so we have to ask this question. Is the spouse a believer? If a believer spend too much time in church, then who does she hang out with? Of course, the brethren in church. So who has he or she neglected? It's actually a family. Maybe it's the husband, wife. They may have some misunderstanding. The non-believing spouse may think, or family member may think, that church separates the family. You know, it's very demanding on the time. So even if the spouse is a believer, but some of them may not understand why you need to spend so much time in church. When I say this, Some of you may be confused. Do you want us to come to church or not come to church? If your spouse don't understand, so if there's tomorrow, there's exams, and you still bring the kids to Sunday school, do you want to be responsible for the results? So when the spouse doesn't understand, so such an act, you may come into a very difficult situation. So if you really want to bring the child to Sunday school, then in other times you need to spend more time to work out to help him improve his grades, so that your spouse knows that you have done what you need to do. So of course you must tell the children. You need to tell the child that you must not just spend so much time in Sunday school as an excuse so that you don't have to go home to do revision. So when we deal with the family, so we must connect ourselves to the church, but we must not neglect our family. So we really need to ask God to give us more wisdom. If you want to connect, so we must really, how do we apply some of the Christian teachings in our family? So of course my family may have some problems, and you can bring some of this testimony. It has to be connected together. The third problem is that believers treat the church as a club or a place of refuge. This is very easy to see. What is a club? There are people who are like-minded. So those who like to cook will talk about cooking. Some people will like to, gardening. They will always gather those together. So the motivation to come to church is not to worship the Lord. It's not just to learn, hear the word. Because they have a lot of lobang. If you, he has a lot of lobang. He has a lot of things to help me. When you bring, there's something wrong with this relationship. Church is not a club. Some testimonies they say, then why do they go to church? Because the atmosphere, when I worship the Lord there, the whole atmosphere, the lighting, the music, the worship leader, very gentle. So it can stir up my emotions. Yeah, so it's like a remotion. It's like my. It's like you are Holy Spirit filled because you are shook. If you take away the music and the atmosphere, so can you still worship the Lord? So what is the heart when we come to church? Of course, many people do have problems when you want to receive some encouragement. So the problems 5 years ago and the problems now is just looking for. You have no heart to change after. So you, after prayer, you just think the other party should change. But 5 years, you have not changed at all. You are just coming to vent out your frustration and also to receive comfort and also to get prayers. Of course, course the church welcomes people who have problems to receive comfort and to hear God's word, but do not. So just don't treat it as a place where, you know, when I come here, I feel at peace. When I go home, it's in a better. So if we really face God, we know that God also allowed certain challenges in your house. You must draw strength so that you are strengthened to deal with the problems. So pray for God to give me the strength. So that you also see how you can also, after you have received help from God's word, you are healed, you can help others. So that you can also share the goodness of God with others. It's not just receiving help and then having the problem solved. I can't go to home. Where should I go? I can't go home. I can't go to church. You have to face God to see where you need to lead him to. So what is also another unusual relationship? He has too much demands of others. It's not that they are not good. I've seen some examples. Some people, they really love the church. They are really to give up all their time, sacrifice their house, so that people can go to his house. They are really to give up everything for the Lord, and so that the Lord can use it, and he is willing. He is also willing to help those who are seeking refuge. When he does this, what I see is he has been doing this on his own zeal. The zeal to do this. After he has done it himself, I've helped you for 2-3 months. How come you have not changed? How far I pray for you, you have not. They will have about some demands on people. So the person who receive help will feel a lot of pressure. So do you help me for a... So at first when you help me so that I can know God, now I've accepted Christ, now you help me so that I can change. It feels like there's some agenda. So it may also trigger the leader and they say, oh, I have troubled this person for so long. So there may be some, and so even this person loves the Lord, but what he does, if it's not true love and it's not receiving, not expecting reciprocation, so but really wanting to point person to God, to help the person encounter God, so that he can experience the God's help. So when we keep doing this, there are many things. It's not that it's not that after I've helped you, I can expect anything from you. But we know that as we help people, we also need to challenge them so that they can get out of the comfort zone. So as a teacher, as a shepherd, the important thing is, when do you need to encourage? So when do you need to do out of love? Sometimes to encourage, sometimes to challenge, sometimes to really get them to turn to God themselves. So when Jesus was on a ship and they encountered a storm and they wake Jesus up, why do you have little faith? Jesus did not scold them. He just said, why do you have so little faith? So when we help our family, our parents, it's not to expect anything, them to repay us or change them, but it's really to wait upon the Lord, wait upon God's timing, so that God's spirit can work in them. So this is how we can have a believers believers can have a proper relationship with the church. When we talk about relationship with church, it's not a physical church building. It is about having the connection. So because so I am using the church when I talk about church. So it's a place where God's word is being taught. And so when I talk about the relationship between believers and church, so from the early church, so what is God teaching us from the life of the early church believers? So the disciples actually followed Jesus for three over years, and then of course that Jesus was crucified. Actually, when that happened, so Peter denied Christ three times, and then other disciples were also very afraid in the road to Emmaus. So there were two, it says their face was downcast. So after they see Jesus dying on the cross, they were really depressed. So when we read Acts chapter 1, so Jesus revealed to them, in these 40 days, so he revealed himself to 120 disciples, and then the Holy Spirit descended, then everybody spoke in tongues, in the language of other lands. So from 120 becomes 3,000. Why do these believers, why do they have this radical transformation from those who are very discouraged to become someone who is waiting to live for the Lord? So some of the disciples actually went back to their previous profession. But ultimately, they've seen the transformation in their life. So how do we be led by the Spirit so that we can go back to God's Word? We must personally encounter God because they are Holy Spirit filled, so they have power. I believe. So we know that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, but sometimes how come we don't have the power? So I believe what Jesus did is to really explain all the words. So help them to see God's redemption plan through the lens of the Old Testament and how Jesus has led his life. To explain, of course, the Bible did not record exactly what Jesus did in the 40 days, but we know that Saul, the one who persecuted Jesus in the road to Damascus, Jesus asked him, "Why are you persecuting me?" He realized, "Isn't what I have been doing helping your kingdom?" After he truly know God, his life completely changed. Whether it's in the work, in our family, if you want to connect to God's word, we must think very carefully. What is our relationship with God? If you want to know God, it's through the pulpit. So what is important? So if the church is preaching as Christ, then the people we raise up will be like someone like Paul. Do you understand? If we want to transform our lives, we need to encounter God. And then if you want to know God and encounter God, we need to know it through the church. We need to face God ourselves. We need to know and understand God's word. So is it really, we need to be able to discern whether what is being taught in the church is really exalting man or really exalting God. So when we say we need to believe. Why do we not have the heart of those of the early church believers? Let's read Acts. So they were. So of course, those who believe Acts. So they were all together. So Acts chapter 2 verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 47. The believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They gave property and they really gave up everything, their possessions, to bless each other. I'm not saying everybody should sell our house and bring to church. We cannot apply it directly today. But we know the heart behind it. They do not have any. They are, because they see themselves as one. After they have been transformed by God's love, they do not live just for themselves, but they live for each other. 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. So they met together. They broke bread in their homes. They remember what Jesus had done for them when they broke bread, breaking of the bread. So at home, in the temple courts, and that they were not spending 24 hours in the temple courts, but they were at home, they had sincere and glad and sincere hearts. So I already said, you need to worship God in the sincere heart. When you are being with brothers, when you remember Jesus, it's not coming with a hypocritical heart. But after they have sold everything, but they are full of joy even though they have sold everything. Why is it having meals together, eat together? Who can go without eating? So if you can eat happily together, if you can eat, then they were enjoying their meals, they were sharing, and then they enjoyed the favor of all the people, and God added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's not just five of them in a group, they are just happy for themselves. Every time they have this joyous time, they will have testimony. People will see, why are they so different? Why they are always happy? So they have this testimony. They have life. And when they are with others, they continue to praise God and give thanks. And when they do all these things, and then of course the doors of evangelism open up. So we don't just worship the Lord just in church, but it's not that when you come to church and then we don't really have a Christian life in the workplace. Do not misunderstand these believers. It's not that they have no problems. They actually have a lot of problems. Don't be mistaken that they have fear. They have faced a lot of persecution. They face a lot of pressure. Most of them were martyred. So, but when they are gathered together and why are we so different from these people in the early church? When I talk about the heart, so is it our duty when we come to church? So do you come because we are afraid if you don't come, God will be angry with you? When we such a So we so maybe I use a question: are you a man after God's heart? Are you a man after God's heart? Let's read from Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Acts 13, 22. It says that, I have found son David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. This is something we need to examine ourselves. So when David is a little boy, he's a shepherd. And then when lions and bear come, he will overcome them. And then after that, he also overcome Goliath. So Goliath is an enemy that caused the whole of Israel's army to fear. But what David saw is that he's someone who blaspheming the Lord. He saw that God is with him. So everyone Everyone from Sunday school also know about David. But behind that, the spiritual meaning, his faith, how did he defeat the enemy with God's help? Second, so he was being persecuted by Saul. He had a chance to kill Saul, King Saul, but he had a chance to kill King Saul, but David said, King Saul is still the one anointed by God. So those who are anointed by God, I cannot really harm him. He is someone who, even though he knows that if he doesn't kill this enemy, he may kill him the next day, but because if I fear God, I was really obey God's commandments and I just want to obey Him. So when he was fleeing from Saul, they entered the temple. Do you have anything to eat? The priest only said that they have the consecrated bread and then they ate. According to the law at that time, it's a holy thing. It's only the priest who can eat. So David knows that he's hung. He is man after God's heart. God knows that. Jesus, when Pharisees accuse Jesus of healing people on Sabbath, this is what Jesus explained to them about. It's not just holding on to the law, but if a person who is after God's heart, they know when God is pleased with me. He doesn't want. They don't need to be fearful of everything, whether God will be punishing me. Because if we have the one heart, when I'm walking very closely to Him, how do I deal with Him? How do I face my work? From David's life, we can see. So it's not knowing God's heart. It's not someone who very familiar with God's teaching, but it's really knowing the heart of the Father. In what situation the Father will discipline me, or what the Father doesn't like. But it's not just in church, but in the whole life. So that's why there's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So today, when I live today, it's because that Jesus has died on the cross for me. I come to God with a thankful heart. When two or three are gathered in the name, Jesus is in there, is with them. So in a family, when you gather as a family unit, it is like a church. Sometimes people have a family worship. So when they worship and then they praise God, but of course that doesn't replace in the church setting where different family units come together to worship God together. So church is a place where saints gather. So they learn together, love one another, and break bread together. So what evidences would there be for a believer or family who is after God's heart? First, he will lead his family, leads his family and perceive all things based on the church teachings. They need, because everyone's situation is different, they need to see how God is leading you. Some people have a more easy job, some people have. So some people are very stressed. From our So how in our different situation we can align to God's plan. So before he knows God, he would do what he pleases. We want to earn money, we earn money. We want to go out on, we will not consider others. Maybe you just consider your children or your spouse, but now your values have changed. If I earn money, it's not to enjoy life. I know that life is temporal. God has already ordained. So the Bible tells us most people will live to 70, 80. So no matter how much I earn today, all this, I cannot bring it to afterlife. So when this perspective has changed. So when we plan our life, we need to think. So last time, maybe you just care for yourself, your own family. But I consider, you will consider other people's needs. Because the Bible also teaches us to really show concern for others. So he'll seek God about what he needs to do to seek God's will. For children, you know, if you have children, it's not just focusing on their results, but it's really concerned about whether they how to So maybe there are some crises in the family, so you really get the kid to come and pray together. So you don't hide the problems from the children, but really see how God is leading the family. So of course even if you have fallen short in some areas, you can tell your child, you know, we are humans, and then Lord, they really need God's forgiveness. So just now, so some people earn more money. So save, if in case, saving for rainy days. So if there's another pandemic, I have some savings, I can. So some in the past, maybe your idea is like that, but what is your perspective now? So now you want to be a good steward. So it is about your way you look at money is also different. So we know whether work or family, we know what I'm supposed to do, what God has commissioned to do. So the word of God tells us, if I'm a husband, God, oh, the word of God tells us how to be a husband. If I'm a wife, I know how to be a wife. So you, from the word of God, you have a lot of wisdom to deal with their own problems. So you will not ever end up at a stage where you spend too much time in church and you neglect the family. But when sometimes when we pray for our family, elderly parents, in the past, what do you do? In the past, the first thing is to find a doctor. Always looking for the solution or cure. Now that you are a believer, a man after God's heart, do you not see a doctor? It's not the case, but you must pray. But you also remember that your body is also created by God. If God didn't take away my illness, God can use this in the process of when this illness is with me, give me the strength so that we can be strengthened by relying on the Lord. In that bad situation, you can still be connected to God and you can face God. This is what we can do only after our life has been transformed. So it's not like nothing, no cure, so I'm just waiting to die. This is from our daily life. When we are still young, most of us, so when more problems, so we need to strengthen our faith now, so that when we are older, we meet of these problems, we can deal with it. So there are many examples, you know, how we find a spouse, how do we set up a family, do we want to have kids? All this different situation, actually God's word has wisdom in all this area. So it's through the teaching of God's word in the church that we can shape how we design and shape and design our life. Maybe some of you will think that this elder says it like it's so easy, but I know that everyone's situation is real. But no matter, so all the more real your problem is, all the more we need God. John 16, I've told you this so that you have peace. You have trouble in the world, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Here, this is a very familiar verse. So it's not that Christians will have a smooth sailing life, no problems. It's a paradox. The bigger our problems, the more we need to rely on God. So when you have no problem, then you have more time to seek God. The more problem we have, all the more we need to rely on God. Because the ruler of this world, Satan, will use all kinds of problems so that we'll crumble, we will abandon our faith, but all our problems, all our troubles is our cross. Just now we read this in responsive reading. We must carry our own cross and follow the Lord. If you have a problem, it's a great problem. God says, didn't say, throw away your cross and follow me, but you need to bear the cross. And then when you bear the cross, then Then God will show you how He's holding you by His hand, how He's with you, how He will help you through the different challenges. So, if you have a big problem, but it can never be bigger than God's grace. It's not a problem. Christianity is about having no problems. But it is a faith where we continue to walk, hold on. So it's a narrow path. But those who have... So we really need God to give us added faith to take this path. Is this path worth walking? Is this worth walking this narrow path? There are some... We need to adjust some of these things about our life. First, we must not escape from problems. God allow problems. God didn't expect us to only seek Him when we have no problems. But in the problem, but it is, it's not. So sometimes it's not a big problem. Sometimes it's just envy and jealousy. Is it a problem? When this person is better than me, why this person's car is bigger and bigger? Is it a problem? It's a spiritual problem. Because you don't have a thanksgiving heart. You see things and become jealous. You should really ask the Lord, why is my heart like this? Why can I obey you and submit to you? No matter what problem it is, Romans 5 what tells us, the hope will not to be put to shame. So when we can connect this to the problems we face in our life, then we will know that. We know that God allows some of these problems so that it can have perseverance and character and it gives us hope. So that our faith is something that has a foundation. It's not just something we imagine. So the other thing is, then we also must be equipped, willing to be equipped. So when we have a quiet time to read the Bible, you can read some commentary. Last time we have discipleship training, now we have the Reformed training class. These are ways for us to be equipped. So that we can align our faith to another doctrine to the reformers. I'm not saying only our church message is correct. There are many great books. There are also very good pastors that we can also refer to and can also learn. But you need to be able to differentiate. So prosperity, so you must want to be equipped. We want to have wisdom. We must be wise in equipping ourselves, not just taking any kind of teachings. Be watch out for the hyper grace or the prosperity seeking gospel. The third, and join a suitable cell group. I think most of you here have a cell group. It's not hearing the cell group leader to share a sermon. We might as well come to listen to the sermon. So the cell group leader may be using another perspective, using some examples. And then the sharing of the brothers and sisters. Maybe they can share. So they are in the past Thanksgiving, past brokenness, you don't be afraid that people will judge. Everyone is doing this in actually it's very enjoyable. Everyone brings up their own experience, you can see. Okay. So in that situation, God can still help me, can use me. So when you bring up some problems, you have no answers, we pray together and see how God is leading us. This is a very important lesson God wants us to learn from cell group. So when we are closer and closer to God, we are show concern for others and intercede for all. It's just not taking... Of course, just now I said, we don't just focus on our situation. But when the situation, we want to restore that our situation and the church situation is related. It's not just focus on ourselves. It's really focus on maybe our brethren. You can show concern. Even if, especially if your family members have not accepted Christ, you pray for them. It's to not pray for anything else, but really mainly pray for the salvation. So we must pray for, when we say we want to show concern for others, it's not just gossip. You know what is this person, what's happening to this person? It's not just being a gossiper. But who has a problem, I'm willing to intercede for him. Or this person, or maybe you know someone else who may be able to help. So that this person can face God. We really must have burden for those people, salvation of others. This must be some. You will not think that sharing the gospel is just the work of pastor, preacher, and the co-workers. We know that the world is. We are all in a ship that is sinking. So when the. Will you ask your. When you see the urgency, the more you have this urgency to share the gospel with them, you wouldn't think there's still time, or you think that God would do it. This is not something that a person who love God would do, you know, just ignoring these things and so you are chosen people, holy nation, and you are God's people. We are a chosen people. We are created in God's image. We have this identity and role to share the gospel. So we want to be willing to participate in God's church ministry. It has to come from your heart. You don't come to church and immediately ask you to serve. You must have the God's word. You must have the foundation. If not, we will have a lot of problems. There will be a lot of friction. Everyone have their own views. They have their explanation. You have your own reasons. If you don't have the word of God as the foundation, and you serve, even when there's the foundation of the word of God, there will be friction. But we know that God will still lead. it will not lead to hatred. There'll be friction, but if we have God, when we seek God together, and we can all adjust our hearts, and then we grow in love for each other, then we can be willingly do the word of God, and we'll do and we'll get better at it. These 6 points we can reflect on this. So when I do a conclusion, all our life we have been caught. When we have been caught, we have to connect to all aspects of our life. It's not just what God. So it's not what God expects, what church expects of you, but how every aspect of your life can be used by God. Let's pray. We thank God for giving us the word today. Not just we know that as believers, we don't just worship you in the church, but in all our aspects of our life, we worship you. Whether our situation is good or bad, we know that that's your plan and your leading. We pray. So pray that we can really understand your will, and we can examine the directions of our life, and transform our hearts, such that we can be a person after your own heart. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.